This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hurwitz, Golden Mike. He's been winning them for ages. He gets them for what he's saying. He keeps trying, but he can't win. Golden Mike is what he's chasing. Amir woke up next to a turdy. 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 Homie woke up next to a turdy.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's a fucking jam. Fuck you, Blumenfeld.
Oh my God.
Let's do it. Sunday. Come on. I love it. You having fun.
Do you think for a second how I would feel hearing that?
What do you mean?
First of all, the song was a good beat. I like that it's a parody of Bugatti by like Ace Hood, but yeah, I didn't like the message of it. Awesome, and then right song. When it was done, I was hoping you'd
the
come
dude
to-
took the fucking time, the energy, and the trouble to write a song about you.
Yeah,
like
but
you're
you
the
said,
chorus of that song. The first and that's thing- pretty fucking. Chill.
The first thing
That's
you
pretty
said,
fucking rad.
The first thing you said was, yeah, fuck you, Blumenfeld.
Yeah, because it had that kind of energy.
Right. Like, and now, like,
that,
for
like,
the rest
eat
of the
shit
show,
of your energy.
That, I think that it hurt. That hurts to hear. And then, like, into the podcast, I have to now, like, you basically punched me in the face before a show.
It's frustrating that we can have a jam like that, a theme song that bumps so hard. And we're
thank
like,
you, yes.
You got this like it fucking
is,
awesome
yeah,
energy, and then we get started, and instantly you're complaining, and you put a damper, you're a Debbie Downer.
I thought you were gonna that's take my side and be like, it sucks that that good beat, that good song had such a nasty negative mention towards one of us, me
you're
specifically,
featured in that song. You don't think it's cool that somebody wrote a song about you? I think that's pretty fucking rad.
Actually,
I love the verse about me up top.
It wasn't just
the Golden Mike stuff.
It wasn't just anybody. It was Tony Party, who you can follow on Instagram and SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Tony Party.
That's a good URL. That's a good name.
Yeah.
Because it's two things that are really easy to say and spell.
The funny thing is his real name
and have
is Ben Party. So I guess he made it Tony to be like more like showbiz chic. I kind of like
the
that.
Two Y's. That helps.
Tony Party. So thank you to Tony Party for that wisdom. Actually, he says he wrote a Fix You Coldplay parody, All My Loving Beatles parody, and a Sunrise Sunset Fiddler on the Roof parody for us. This is his fourth parody.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm actually, I've been listening to a Weezer song that I want someone to parody for our live show opening. It's from
their new
It's from their new, album,
from their new album
that okay. I really like. It's called... It's the first song. I don't know exactly what it's called. I think it's All My Favorite Songs is what the song is called.
That you sent me that.
I sent you that. It's a great song. I've been listening to it over and over. I'm like, this would be a great live podcast intro if anybody wants to. A great way to fast track it to the show. Mm. Maybe we'll get one. Maybe we'll get four or five. I'll play them all because I like the song so much. I will love the theme song. So grab it off Weezer's latest LP, EP, whatever they're calling records these days. Right. Okay, Human.
Hell, maybe fucking River could do it. Wouldn't that be cool?
You don't think so. Is it River or is it Rivers? It's
I think
multiple,
it was Rivers,
it?
And then he changed it to River.
Just like this guy?
I believe he dropped the S.
Lose the S. Just River.
Just River.
That's really cool. Like
a river
phoenix. Yeah. Okay, Human album. I'm going to get the exact song title so that people know exactly what it's called. Mm-hmm. All my favorite songs. I was right. All right. All my favorite songs. Weezer, that's my request. My humble request, actually. And can you not make it be mad at me during it?
Jesus. You're sad. Small. You're shy. You're timid. You're scared. You're scared, actually. And you're scarred. Yeah. Let's move on.
let's try to move on. Yeah. Happy Sunday. This is it. Finally, the one-year anniversary of your last flight from LA to New York. You've been on the East Coast for 1 year straight. Happy anniversary. Mazel tov. Congratulations. Wow. Good job. You did it.
That is you wild. Made it. I haven't crossed the Mississippi in a calendar year.
You haven't been higher. Cool. You haven't been higher than 300 feet in the air since 1 year ago. Does it feel like a year ago? Does it feel like longer?
It's weird. It does. In some respects, it feels like this has been going on forever. And then in others, it feels like time has flown. And then at the same time, it feels like there's no end in sight. So it's really...
It's a new reality.
It's really all over the place. Right. Yeah. So, but I guess it doesn't feel like a lot of time has elapsed unless you really start thinking about it, unless you start thinking about all the milestones.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wow, it's been a year. But I'll tell you what, no more. I'm done being a bummer about it. I'm feeling hopeful. I'm feeling happy. I'm excited. These vaccines are fucking crushing it. The Johnson & Johnson is out. Things are looking up. That's things are cool. looking up.
Actually, there's this new California variant that's... pretty it's shown that the vaccine is not efficacious against, and 10,000 cases in Los Angeles alone, and that's
run that fast. Chorus back, Tony Party.
I woke up next to a turdy. You're right, let's move on. We have to. We're here as an escape to people. Nobody wants to hear us ruminate, talk about the fucking state of the world. They want to hear us answer some questions, and what better way to do it than with the lightning round. We got asked so many questions during our live show last week. By the way, thanks to everybody who bought a ticket and attended the live stream of this podcast. What a fun night that was.
Yeah, it was great. You know what, a fun little intimate stat for me. My entire family was there. All my sisters, my brother, my parents. That is the first time the whole entire Hurwitz family was at one of my live shows.
Wow.
They've all been like separate, but that was the first, because we were doing it virtually, everyone got to go together.
That's cool. Yeah. My brother was like, what'd you do last night? And I was like, oh, I had the live show that I was telling you about. And he's like, cool, send me a link. And I'm like, all right, I can give you like an access code, but it cost $16. And he's like,
wow,
LOL, I'm not paying for that shit. And I said, no, I know, I'm just kidding. Here's the access code. And he's like, no, you're actually a little bitch for asking me to pay for it at all. So I don't think I want to support you in any way, even if it's a free link.
Yeah.
I told my mom and dad about it, and they were also like, yeah, we heard from Ben, and we actually take his side. I can't believe my mom, which she would never use this language usually, said, I can't believe you were such a little bitch about it. Again, she said that.
Whoa.
So I guess like for whatever reason, my brother tainted her.
It's her stuck thinking.
Yeah. And now I'm like known as
Sometimes that happens with like a nickname. Like somebody says a nickname that just like makes such sense for someone.
Yeah.
That and you're kind of like, oh, yeah, that's true. He is a little boy. I can totally kind of see that.
No Blumenfeld was in the house. They didn't make it, basically.
So sorry to hear that. But anybody who missed the show is still up right now.
My family can see it, and anybody can see it if they want to.
If they wanted to.
Yeah. I think they leave it up for a week, so it'll be up until Wednesday. And you can go to jakeandamir.com to watch it. Now we can say who the special guests were. So we had Avital and Jill up for one of the questions, talking about farting in relationships. We had Gabrus on. Mm-hmm. We had Pat Castles in the house. We had Ben Schwartz at the end of it. We were, you know, it had a different energy than a regular podcast. So I think it was fun for anybody that watched live. And I've heard some good reviews from people who have watched it after the fact. So if you're
not a good time,
if you're intrigued, if you want to see the video, check it out at jakeandamir.com. And we were even asking people for their questions they could submit. If you were watching the show live, you can submit it via chat. Okay.
We got to a couple, but there were
300,
like literally 400. So yeah,
400. Jesus. Wow. So we thought, why don't we try to answer some of the questions we didn't get to during the live show? Because there's some good ones.
The little lightning round. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did we answer this one? What is your go-to whiskey? We didn't answer that one, did we?
I don't think we did.
Do you have a go-to whiskey?
I have a goat-to whiskey.
So the second best of all time, or this is just a regular?
I go to the goat. I really don't. I have a rotation. I have the one that's like quintessential me is the Bullet. That's the classic.
That's cool.
That's the most classic bourbon. That's the orange bottle. But like if I'm feeling it, sometimes I like the rye. I think Basil Hayden's is pretty damn goat. I think I'm a big fan of Sazerac. Love Buffalo Trace. You know what? I'm sorry. I have an actual answer.
Whoa.
If I can have my druthers. If I had my druthers.
We're actually out of time. Here's the one.
Okay.
Can I date my coworker? That's pretty random.
the answer, though, is Blanton's. Blanton's. You'll notice the Blanton's because it's got a spherical glass bottle with a tiny little horsey top. It's a horse. It's a tiny little horse. And it's...
Here's a question for you.
The horse is the goat.
Okay, yeah. That's good. Those are good little tidbits, good ones to write down. If I gave you a blind whiskey taste test, do you think you're nailing those 5 out of 5 easily? Or you can sort of get confused, think it's one or the other?
I think if you gave me a blind taste test and I knew the whiskeys that I was tasting for, I would get at least 3 or 4 out of 5.
Interesting. That could be a good Patreon video. Because if you get 0 out of 5, you have to officially stop drinking, right? Like you'll have outed yourself.
Well, I have to admit that I don't I would have to commit to only buying Wild Turkey from now on. if you don't give don't buy a $60 bottle of whiskey if you can't taste the difference, right?
Yeah, you're getting mad at who? Yourself for this in this situation?
Like you get an $11 handle of whiskey. That's what you drink now.
And if one of them is a Dr. Pepper and you're like, Four Roses, then it's official. You're dumb. Like you're
I've never had whiskey.
You don't know the difference. You don't get it. Uh-huh. It's such a different flavor.
If
profile.
I say Elijah Craig, I'm eating a Skittle, then no fucking chance.
You don't get to enjoy it.
I won't even know the difference between fucking food and liquor. That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Actually, you're eating nuts right now. That's not a whiskey at all. Yeah. That's a cashew. If you don't know the difference between vodka and an
this
almond.
This is an Angel's Envy? Hold on a second.
No, you're just chewing on a shoe. Jesus.
Oh, I also really like Eagle Rare. Eagle Rare is a good whiskey.
That's a good nickname
I think
for
it's Eagle Rare.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Call me Eagle.
Or Eagle Rare. Rarer than an eagle. Here's a good one that kind of has been warped through the quarantine is if you had to choose between singing or dancing for the rest of your life, what would you choose?
Wait, say it again?
You had to choose either only singing or only dancing for the rest of your life.
Interesting. That's tough. Because it feels like right now I want dancing.
Interesting.
But singing has a little more longevity.
Yeah, because as you grow older and your body falls apart, you still have your amazing voice to fall back on.
Yeah, I'd want to be able to sing to my kid, just to be able to be like, I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Yeah. And this is 13-year-old cool. That you haven't seen in over a decade. Papa?
You can't just come to my 6th grade graduation drunk and think you're the musical act.
Well, I really did wake up in a new Bugatti. I think I would choose... We used to go dancing all the time, and now we just don't dance because, of course, where would you go and what would you do? Mm. But at the same time, at any celebration, you don't want to be the guy that never dances. And it's there's never a celebration where it's why is he not singing? Singing is very
karaoke.
Yeah,
karaoke.
That's true. But I think that's more that forgivable. Really but at the same time, you're in your car and you can't sing along. Give me at least a sing along.
I would miss the dumb little songs I sing to myself and to Jill and my brother.
Yeah.
The dumb little ditties. That's what you'd want to be able to sing.
Actually, you know what? I changed my mind. I would cut my legs off because I wouldn't be able to sing the national fucking anthem. And that's what I choose. I will gladly die before you tell me I can't sing. I stand on God for thee. Oh, Canada.
Whose anthem is this?
Canada.
Yeah. Oh, Canada.
Because I would never sing the red, white, and blue one for in vain. You're a grand old flag. You're a high-flying flag.
That's good. Oh, man, just fucking stand up, put your hand over your heart, and sing, I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. That's how you fucking show love for your country. Respect the flag. Yeah. You're a Yankee Doodle Dandy. You understand?
Barely.
But actually, if you're a Yankee Doodle Dandy, you have to dance like a little Yankee Doodle Boy.
Meaning? What do you mean, Dan? Oh, God. For those who can't see, I don't want to describe it because I think you're lucky for having not seen what this kind of creepy little interpretive dance is. It's like he's hunched over like a weird eagle man who's playing the piano or something like that.
Oh. That's patriotic. That's patriotic.
All right, we got one question specifically for you and one question specifically for me. Which one do you want to answer first?
Okay. I'll be generous. Let's go with me.
Okay. Jake, Sally's or Pepe's?
Big old fan of Pepe's. If anybody doesn't know, New Haven is the pizza capital of the world.
And is that just because of these two places? Like, are there a lot of dozens of good pizza places, or everyone's talking
there's
about
dozens.
These two?
There's a lot of good pizza places, but like Pepe's and Sally's, they're the ones with like the, I think it's the brick oven pizza.
I see. And it's like, that's the, it's like kind of like when they say the cheesesteak belongs to Philadelphia. It's those two places, but.
Oh, sorry. You know what? I knew I was going to get this wrong. It's the coal fired pizza.
Okay. But when you ask like a true Philadelphian, they're like, no, it's not Geno's or Pat's. There's actually a better third option. Do New Haven people say that? Or they're like, no, it actually is one of Sally's or Pepe's.
There's other, like some people will be like, oh, like there's Sally. It's not quite the same because Frank's and Geno's are like actually bad cheesesteaks and like there's much better ones. Sally's and Pepe's are like really great pizzas, but if you're talking to a snob, they might be like, oh, you should go to Modern Pizza. I think Bar Pizza is really good, and I also think Delania is potentially the goat of New Haven. But between the two like tried and true, Sally's or Pepe's, you gotta go Pepe's.
And are you still not eating pizza because it gives you heartburn / gas / painful indigestion?
No, what I've identified between all of the things that were fucking with my stomach is that it was clearly and obviously, and we all knew that it was the beer.
I see.
It was the beer.
I see.
I took the beer out. I started drinking more wine. I've missed beer a little bit, but now when I have like just one beer, I'm able to burp. I don't know if I told you that I can basically burp now?
What? What a huge update that you just completely swept under the rug. How did you go from not being able to burp to just now being able to burp?
Well, I still don't have any control over it. Like, but I've been just, I was reading the r/no burp and just like this one guy's account of like, basically he was always trying to force out the burp and now he's sort of started trying to relax his throat. So I started doing that. I do like I feel like before I used to just like push and nothing would come out except for these tiny little noises. And now I sort of like push and then not at the same time, but like as I'm pushing at some point, I just like really try to relax my throat and breathe out and burps will come.
You're like taking a Lamaze class of burps. It seems like you're sort of like taking a birthing class that teaches you how to burp.
Yeah.
Breathing lessons?
I still don't know. Yeah, I don't know when they're coming or not, but I've been able to like relax and let them arrive a little bit better. So that's been helpful. And I haven't missed beer nearly as much as I thought I would. I still have like a beer every 2 weeks.
Oh, that's good. So you sort of lower the amount you have, but you still have some, and now you can pass the gas.
Yeah, I feel like I used to have like 3 or 4 beers a week. Like now I replace that with a glass of wine after work instead of a beer after work.
That's nice. That's classier, actually. And then the whiskey still sometimes is more of the weekend drink still.
Whiskey is a Friday and a Saturday, and I enjoy one or two. And that's That's as much as I'll indulge these days.
Are you drinking milk? What's your alternative milk of choice? Or are you just completely off dairy entirely?
I do almond milk in my smoothies. If I'm having cereal or like a granola, I'll throw in some almond milk. But every once in a while, I'll fuck with just a glass of milk. If I have a cookie and I wanted a... Jill's mom made like brownies a couple weeks ago, and I had a brownie and just... I was like, I need a glass of milk. And I had a fucking big ass glass of whole milk.
Whole. That was awesome. Of glass of whole. Yeah. Yes.
Glass of whole. And I chugged it.
It was good. That's the Billy Scafuri special. He has a glass of whole or two, I think, every day. So now you know what he feels like. He lives like on the fucking wild side.
Does the body
side.
Good.
Yeah.
Respect.
And it felt fine to you. It was just like, that was, there's no burping at the end of that. That just felt like...
No. Yeah. That was smooth. Yeah. That's silky.
Not to be confused with silk, which is soy milk.
That's right. Which I also love.
You know, soy's fallen out of favor, but I think it's going to start making a resurgence. It was like the first big one. Then everyone sort of tossed it aside.
People are attacking hard against soy. Yeah. They don't like soy. It's like not sustainable. It's not great for your gut.
Right. I'm saying buy low on soy, sell high on soy. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break and then we'll come back for a few more questions for me and for both of us. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. All right. No unsolicited advice. Actually, this one is kind of unsolicited advice. Joe asked me, what moment should I buy on Top Shot right now? So last week, or was it the week before?
So this one was yours, huh?
Yeah, that one was specifically mine. Right? Have you heard anymore? I remember sort of explaining it to you. It was either last week or the week before what Top Shot was. It's these digital basketball cards that you can buy and sell.
Right.
Have you heard anything more since that happened, or like you haven't even come across that anymore?
It's not in my life except for through you. So I'm like, I see it on Twitter, but that's just because I follow
me.
You on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas
it hasn't infiltrated anywhere else.
Yeah, because like I'm in the world of basketball and I see it everywhere. It's like during highlights and it's on basketball Twitter. It's in podcasts and like I'm following more people. So it's like,
is it on TV? Do they show it at all with like on NBA commercials or anything?
Not commercials, but it's starting to like people are saying like, ooh, that'll be a Top Shot like during the games, or like some like news packages or stories, or like it's on like basketball shows. They're talking like, what is this thing? And then they explain what it is. Kind of like what Bitcoin was 5 years ago. Anyway, my advice is to, the market shot up before we recorded the last episode. So like it's been kind of like plateau or slightly cool again. So you can get some quote unquote good value right now. I think if you wanted to buy a moment on Top Shot right now, I would go for somebody who's injured right now, because nobody's really thinking about like Anthony Davis, for example, and that could be like a cool person that's probably lower value than he'll be when he comes back and starts playing. So Anthony Davis is my bit of advice. And you could buy it with regular bucks or crypto bucks. You can get in there and purchase however you want. But just know that it could entirely disappear. So don't spend any money you'll need in a week or two. That's my other unsolicited advice.
Yeah, that this is it's a high risk investment.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
What's your risk tolerance, you know?
Exactly. Are you willing to just set this cash on fire or potentially double it? Then that's the money you should spend on a video of Anthony Davis making a shot on the website. In a way, on the day. Here's a question for both of us.
Nice.
My girlfriend never listens to my instrumental music projects until I explicitly ask her to. Why doesn't she like my music? How do I get her to listen to it on her own volition as opposed to me asking? I thought of us because we had Avital and Jill on the podcast. They don't listen to our podcast.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. It's like you want a supportive partner, but at the same time, I don't expect Avital or Jill to listen to our podcast at all, and they never do, and I don't really think about it. So how do you reconcile that? Like if you're a musician and your partner never listens to your music, is that as offensive as what we're doing or they're doing?
I guess it's different because I feel like we were doing this podcast for a long time before them. And I feel like Jill cares about my creative pursuits and endeavors. Like, I don't feel like she doesn't give a shit. I just feel like she couldn't give a shit about this podcast. And I'd never expect it, you know?
All right, here's a good difference. Yeah. The difference is, like, these we have to crank out every week. They're not like the lonely and horny projects where we spent a lot of time and created this piece of art like a musician would. Like if you're just jamming every week, you can't expect your girlfriend to be like sit there and listen to every practice. She's not a fan of your music. She's just, you know, a fan of you. But if we worked on a movie or we worked on a short thing or like an animation, then I'm sure our partners would be interested and intrigued to watch that.
The test is you have like your music. Perform your first show, like a virtual show, or when things open back up, you do like an open mic or something. Like if your significant other is not like supporting you at the show, then it's worth being like, I want you to care about my music. But if it's just like, I came up with this new riff and she's like, I'm watching TV, you know, then it's not necessarily, I think then it's okay.
Right. And it's also like, I mean, you have to, she wouldn't be with you if she thought your music was terrible, probably, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can't.
Yeah.
But then it's like, for most normal people with normal jobs, the partner is not like, oh yeah, I really am intrigued as to what you're doing as a lawyer or an accountant. And I have to make sure that I'm a fan of you as a lawyer or an accountant. So with artists, quote unquote, it's a little different.
I guess. I feel like no matter what the person I was with, what their job was, I would be intrigued about like elements of it, and I'd care if they were good at whatever their job was.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know. You really, you can't tell if someone's a good accountant or a good lawyer like you can if someone's like a good, I don't know, performer, because you actually see them perform and you can have an opinion on
lawyers,
that.
Lawyers like win cases and stuff. Accountants meet their deadlines.
Way to meet your deadline tonight, honey. I saw that you met your deadline.
I bet if you have an accountant spouse and they're like, fucking, they would be so like stressed out around tax time and then like all the work's done, there's got to be like some sense of like pride. You'd be like, I'm really proud of you. You dealt with a lot of shit, you know?
Yeah.
You filled out that 88 79 and that form 592B. Oh my God, how many K1s did you issue?
This is you trolling her because she got fired. Holy shit. And you did it right, or you got axed?
Anyway, turn my amp on. I have a rap rock song.
Dana, you're an accountant and you're good at it.
That song's awesome.
Here's a question. Interesting one, actually. Perry asks, tell us about your worst day at College Humor. Do you remember fairly easy job, fairly fun job, but I'm sure there was a quote worst day, or at least when I say bad day, what comes to your mind quickly?
It's funny because both of these bad days that I have in mind were like really fun in retrospect. There was a day that we called like Black Wednesday, I think, where like it was when there was still very few people at the company. There was like less than 20 people, and like three or four people got fired. And we didn't get
someone getting fired is also always a bad day.
Yeah, and it was like, it was a big like cut, like it felt like 20% of the company was just like gone one day.
Right.
But it was kind of like this, like, it was like a crazy story. So it was kind of interesting. The other one I remember is when we found out that College Humor was moving and like not everyone was going. And it was basically like the end of New York and everything we had. And we all went to the Whiskey in Brooklyn and got like absolutely shit-faced on like a Tuesday and danced until like 2 a.m. There was like a big, I think at that point we were all like on GroupMe, because they're like, what, group texting wasn't a thing yet.
All right.
And we had this, like, it was like a 20 person group text with everybody that worked at College Humor called Hang Gang. And we were just like texting that threat, like, everyone come to the Whiskey right now. Like, so some people that were moving to California were there. Some people who'd got fired were there. Some people who had like worked at the company and then left a couple of months before were there.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
What comes to my mind is like having to wake up really early to shoot stuff that we didn't want to shoot. Like if you're in the background of a scene of a College Humor sketch or something, it's like, yeah, call time is 5:30, but try to like be here. We're taking a bus at like 4:45 and it's like freezing cold and I'm half asleep, or like the end of an all-nighter when we're all doing like a sketch at 6 a.m. So like I just remember the exhausting, or like branded content we didn't get paid for, like the turkey bowling video.
I was just thinking about the turkey bowling video. The turkey bowling video, I think we had shot like a solid amount of branded content, but it wasn't until we shot the turkey bowling video that all of us were like, why aren't we getting paid for this? We don't want to do it. I don't even remember what the brand was. But like we were bowling with turkeys
in the office,
like 6 a.m. It was, I don't know who the hell wrote it, but it was an insane script. It was like from the brand agency,
right,
wrote a script where we were like doing bowling with turkeys or something. And I had all of the worst lines and I was complaining the entire time. Like, who the fuck is getting, like, how much money is College Humor getting paid for this? And this is just expected. I do it for free.
Yeah. Didn't we have to wear stupid costume, or was that just
stupid costume, insane lines? We got paid no extra money for it.
All the sad parts of selling out without any of the good actually making money part that makes it worth it.
Yeah, delivering the money line in a branded spot where you get, I'm still making minimum wage. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Here's a question. My roommate once accused me of peeing in her drawer. I didn't, obviously. Should I live with her again? Being wrongfully accused. Is that a deal breaker? Oh, another one.
I feel like if
my roommate pissed in a drawer and won't own up to it, should I leave this apartment? Interesting.
Oh, so this is
a two-parter.
We were in the middle of it. Yeah.
What's worse?
I think having your drawer pissed in is worse.
Yeah. Or at least thinking it. Yeah. And then being wrongfully accused. That's also pretty bad, though. But obviously not as bad.
Have you ever been around someone that pissed in something that wasn't the bathroom?
Yeah, you. You piss everywhere. You piss in bottles in your car.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I don't mean like that. That's intentional pissing. And I'm like, and I'm being sneaky. You pee in a bottle, pee behind a tree, pee behind a dumpster. I was one time visiting a friend in college at St. Joe's. I was sleeping on a futon in the living room. His roommate got home absolutely shit-faced and pissed on the TV.
The legit hell?
Just pissed all over the credenza and television.
Because he was like, so hammered?
So hammered, he thought it was a toilet, I guess. Fell asleep on, like, came home, pissed on the TV, fell asleep on the floor.
Jesus. That guy is the man. That's the fucking savage move.
Can I be your fucking roommate, sir?
That was Brett fucking Kavanaugh, if you can believe it.
I bet. And I was squee.
I fucking Brett it was. I'll take that, Brett. No, you're the only person. Are you still pissing outdoors? Because I know you're sort of sometimes living with Jill's family, so I imagine it's hard to like say, hold on, you guys go up. I'm going to take a piss behind your building or something like that.
Yeah, I don't pee outside in New York City. That's too tough. But in New York, I kind of know where all the public bathrooms are, and that hasn't ever been an issue. At home, like, yeah, I'll pee behind a tree. I'll pee at the side of a car. For sure, yeah.
The side of a car or the sight of a car?
At the side of a car. I see a fucking, yeah. I'm honestly, if I see a Corolla, I get so fucking jittery that I need to urinate right then and there.
Yeah, you should probably get that checked out, right?
Yeah, the sight of a Forester makes me piss my pants.
A RAV4 makes me ravenous for pee.
Yeah. RAV4 makes me go number one.
Pooter Cakes says, I've been playing a lot of chess lately. Y'all play chess? I think there's been a huge chess boom since Queen's Gambit. I sort of missed that. What do you think about chess as a hobby?
It seems cool. I think, like, I know how to play chess, but I'm like the perfect mark for anyone that knows how to play chess at least decently. Like, if you know a chess strategy, you know,
yeah,
like, you'll beat me
because you know how all the pieces move. Yeah, and that's it.
I can sit at the table and that's it, but everything, I'm winging it every single time.
You'll only win by accident.
Yeah, I played with Jill and she just like absolutely decimates me. It's really funny.
Oh, you do play with her? So
I think we've played like a handful of games in all of our years together.
It seems like
she likes chess.
It seems like a fun thing to learn, like a good alternative to just whatever, doing literally anything else on your phone. Like you have a chess app and you become into playing chess. Like I've gotten into like these shitty like word games on my phone, like Words with Friends or Scrabble or Word Hunt or whatever the game.
Are you playing those still?
Sometimes I'll get like invites from friends, or Avital will like message me and like invite, what are those things called, Game Pigeon on your phone?
Yeah.
So like doing chess instead of that seems like it's more cerebral and kind of interesting to get good at chess.
Maybe you and I could play chess. We should. Let's see if Game Pigeon does a chess thing.
They definitely don't, but I bet there's chess apps that like track your progress and stuff like that.
Yeah, do you want to play chess together or against each other?
I don't want to play against you, but I'd be down to like play. That sounds like a lot of fun.
You're afraid? Because I'm the fucking chess master?
You just said that you know how the pieces move, but you don't know anything else.
I'm the Queen's Gambit.
What does that mean?
It's a reference to the show where someone's really good.
Have you seen Queen's Gambit?
Yeah.
And?
I thought it was pretty good. Pretty good.
Actually, here's a question about TV. What's the GOAT sitcom? P.S. Come to Oregon when it's safe. Okay. So we'll come to Oregon. And then what do you think is the GOAT situation comedy? The greatest sitcom in TV history.
Arrested Development.
Yeah, that's a sitcom, right? Even though it wasn't like shot in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah, it's not your classic sitcom. It's not a multicam sitcom.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the is that the question?
No, I think it's any question, TV comedy, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Seinfeld.
Yeah, I would say Seinfeld or Friends. Those classic. Those are like multicam in front of the audience. May still make me laugh more than anything else. Is Simpsons a sitcom? Yeah. If it's animated?
I guess. The thing, like, I think Friends is one of the greatest shows of all time. I just think that, like, when I watch the old episodes, like, it feels like the characters, the actors are doing so, it's like the show is so much that perfect cast. And Seinfeld, I feel like, is like, the jokes still stand up. The storytelling is, like, still really interesting.
Right. The writing
Friends
and the
is
plot.
Like, I could just watch that cast do anything and they could make any line funny because, like, the characters were so well developed.
Yeah. Classic Joey. Fucking Chandler. Then there's
Joey
Rachel
loves
and Monica.
Sex and sandwiches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ross is an archaeologist or a paleontologist or whatever. But he's Schwimmer, and that's the goat.
You should really tweet Schwimmer's ear. I know I sort of give you guff.
I don't
want to
break the internet.
I think I really do want to see you tweet. Does Ross from Friends ever get Schwimmer's
ear? It's still in the drafts. It's in the drafts. Let's see. Let's just take a little gander at her.
All right. Just to get your heart beat up, just look at it and hover your hand over the fucking tweet button. Do you have anything else in the drafts? Or have you been tinkering, like, coming up with jokes that you don't fire off, or is that the latest one?
I don't know. Well, first of all, how the hell, where do I find my drafts?
I think you go to tweet. And then it's like it pops up as drafts after you like click on let's tweet, like that button.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait, it's let's tweet. I don't see where drafts are.
Once you're in the compose a tweet page,
yeah,
there's no drafts button.
There's not.
Whoa,
this is great radio right now.
This is really
me
interesting.
Not being able to find my Twitter drafts.
Yeah, like you see how it says like what's happening here.
Yeah.
And then like at the top left, it says drafts next to tweet.
Oh, yeah. Are my drafts deleted?
You have no drafts?
I don't know. Oh, my God. Did I lose my fucking Schwimmer's ear tweet?
Actually, I have hundreds of drafts. Can I just run a few by you and then you can tell me?
Yeah, I would love.
So these are either half written or fully written. And I haven't had the huevos to pull the trigger.
Let's see them.
Okay. I was named after a MRI.
That's pretty good.
Because it sort of looks like my name. Yeah. Low-key over COVID. So that one's sort of like me being sarcastic about coronavirus.
Right.
The best restaurant in LA doesn't even have a location or a kitchen. It's just an Instagram account of other people's sandwiches.
That's fine.
It's fine, yeah. Whatever. It's like a stupid one.
You don't care. Fire it off then if it's stupid.
No, it's fine. Whatever. Something about responding to a text from last week just to ask a new question. Like you go to text someone and you realize you haven't answered their previous question. So it's like, oh yeah, everything is good. Also, can I borrow your car this weekend or something? It's not really a joke. It's just sort of a world.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see here. This one is sort of like, I feel bad tweeting about it because it touches on themes that might get me canceled, but it's, here's a free joke if you're writing a show about a playfully abusive father. So his kid is like, what's the theme of my birthday party? And the dad goes, the theme is I don't whoop your ass or something like that. It's like when you have like a grumpy dad and it's like, yeah, the theme is I'm not going to fucking kick your ass.
Right.
But then it's like people might get mad at me for talking about child abuse. So I never fired that.
Red from that 70s show.
Yeah, exactly. Which was like, it's fine on whatever, on TV or something. But yeah. But when I like tweet about it, I feel bad. Here's one that just says Skype. So I don't really know what I meant with that. That one's sort of like a half-baked idea.
Tweeted.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I convinced you to tweet Nicki Minaj just butt-dialed Iraq?
I should do that again. How did that one do? I'm sure it's still.
I don't think that was in your draft, and you wouldn't pull the trigger. And I was like, "This one's fucking good."
Nicki Minaj. I'm gonna search Nicki Minaj Iraq. I did. I tweeted it almost the week after Trump became president, January 29th, 2016. Nicki Minaj just butt dialed Iraq. It means nothing. It means nothing. Should I retweet it right now or just tweet it again as if it's like I just came up with it?
I have no idea what's funny. It's funnier.
Is Nicki Minaj even like still doing it? It's like we've moved on from Nicki Minaj as a society, I think.
Yeah, I guess you could say Megan Thee Stallion just butt dialed like that.
Iraq. Why? All right, Megan Thee Stallion. I'll tweet it now and we'll see how it does throughout the...
Well, how did Nicki do?
Yeah, 22 retweets, 87 likes. So that's pretty good.
So pretty... Is that good? Yeah. That seems like not that great.
Not that great, but like definitely not a dud. All right, I'm going to tweet this. Let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll finish this Q&A lightning round style. We're going to get through as many as possible.
Nice.
Is it Megan M-E-G-A-N or M-E-A-G-A-N?
M-E-G-A-N. I think.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Mm-mm-mm. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Imagine having an ass so big you butt dialed Iraq. Yeah,
I guess. I don't even understand what the implication is.
It like means she has a huge ass, sort of. But only because I knew
dialed
that
a bunch
did.
Of numbers.
Yeah, like her ass is so big that it butt dialed for so long. It like did an international code. It talked to an operator. All right. We're back. Here we go. Ready?
Yep.
More questions before we get the fuck out of here.
Let's do it.
Mary fuck. Oh, by the way, I should say that I tweeted it. I tweeted Megan Thee Stallion just butt dialed Iraq. Let's see how it goes.
Wow.
Mary fuck kill ranch honey mustard and hot sauce. This is more up your alley. I don't like ranch or hot sauce, so I will marry fuck honey mustard and kill ranch. I have no use for ranch in my life.
It's funny, I never did until honestly in the last month I have become an insatiable little fucking rodent for ranch.
Yeah,
I'm ranch. I'm a truffle pig for ranch. I love it.
Was ranch made on a ranch? Like it's such a weird, it's like basically like a basil creamy mayo, and they just named it after a place where farm animals live. Ranch sauce.
Well, that's why like buffalo sauce is named after buffalo where it was invented.
Yeah, ranch was just invented on a ranch. Okay.
Also, I made my own buffalo sauce for buffalo wings at the Super Bowl. I am so blown away that it's just Frank's and butter.
Is that it?
That's what it tastes like. But yeah, it feels like at a certain point you didn't even come up with a sauce.
Buffalo?
That's not much of a sauce.
Yeah, that doesn't belong to you, Buffalo.
Sauce, guys.
You don't get
just
that.
Just the added butter with hot sauce. That's, I guess, if no one else had done it. But also, it just feels like, if you're gonna make the sauce, then it should be like the whole. It's butter and then all the ingredients from Frank's, not butter and then you just have Frank's.
It's like if I made if I had added butter to ketchup, did I make a sauce or did I just get high one day?
It would be great. It'd obviously be good.
It's like that Kumail bit about cheese, which is heroin and Advil or something. He's like, so you really are just taking heroin.
Right. It was like pancakes with heroin on them.
All right.
Or wait, no. Anyway. Okay. So I guess hot sauce I would marry because I've had the longest relationship with hot sauce. I'd fuck ranch because that's kind of what I'm doing now. And I'd kill honey mustard because I think the honey is actually hurting the mustard in that situation.
Interesting.
I don't need it to be sweet. I need it to be spicy. I need it to be savory. I need it to be tangy. And that's how it's bangy.
Do you like mustard au naturel though?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
So do you have any, like, what sauce do you not like? Like, I don't like buffalo. I don't like ranch. I guess you don't like honey mustard. You like teriyaki.
I don't like sweet sauces very much. I don't like barbecue sauce.
Whoa. Don't like barbecue.
I'll have it. Like, if I'm eating ribs and they're covered in barbecue sauce, I won't be like, oh, I'm not a fan of barbecue sauce. Like, I'll have that. That's fine. But it's not a sauce that I'm like, oh, you know what this needs? Barbecue sauce. If there's a burger on a menu that's like, this one has blue cheese and like ranch, that's the one I get. I wouldn't get the buffalo burger or the
It's too late. You said you wouldn't get the buffalo burger. No,
I would get the buffalo burger.
Ma'am, come back.
I would get the barbecue
burger. I misspoke.
Waiter.
Here's a question for Pat.
Okay, perfect.
It says, my aunt lived next to you in Greenpoint. She said you look cute in your jogging outfit. Can we see it? So it's not really anything Pat can do now, but yeah, I guess somebody's aunt thought Pat looked cute jogging. So I guess I should send that
much
to
like the question from a couple weeks ago where that dude was low-key dating his bud's aunt.
Yeah, I think we got an update from that. Did I ever send that to you?
Oh yeah, you did. Let me see if I can find it.
Some guy said
it was a really funny update.
Yeah, the question was, my friend's aunt is like sort of hitting on me. Should I try to sleep with her? And if I do, should I tell my friend about it? And I'm like, whoa, this question's from 6 months ago. I wonder if this guy ever fucked his friend's aunt. And then we got an update about it, about what happened
and
with
he
the
said,
aunt.
This shit crashed and burned. I broached the subject with my friend indirectly. It was something along the lines of, ha ha ha, remember when you fucked my cousin? I gotta get back at you for that. LOL, maybe I'll fuck your aunt or some shit. He said, dude, that would be so much worse. I'd fucking kill you if you did that. I then texted the aunt to say, hey, I'd love to take you up on the wine, but it seems I'll omit this guy's name, would be uncomfortable with us doing anything. She replied that I misinterpreted things and she was just being friendly and has no interest in sleeping with someone 20 years younger than her. I changed my walking route. I can't imagine handling this entire thing worse. He did the absolute worst case scenario.
Which is not sleeping with the aunt, but still getting in trouble for even bringing it up.
Yeah. Just awful. Like, if your friend says not to do it, you do not need to tell. You didn't know that she was coming on to you. Like, it wasn't that certain. You preemptively broke up with someone. You didn't need to do that.
Yeah. And then, you know what? The aunt was never interested in you in that way at all anyway. So it seemed...
She might have been. She might have just been trying to save face by saying that. But, like, the fact that you allowed that conversation to take place is insane.
Is it immoral to J-O with a puppy in the room? Is it immoral to have sex with a puppy in the room? Dogs in the room.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Dogs in the room. I don't think it's immoral. I think it's odd. I think it is unnecessary. But I guess if you have a puppy and you kind of like don't want it to get out of your sight. But I would find it off-putting. I wouldn't personally be able to do it. But I don't think it's like, I don't think it's a moral question.
Yeah. It's funny because we have a dog and whenever we're getting frisky, he leaves the room.
Gross.
And he never leaves us in the room. He never leaves until that's starting to happen. And then he like jumps off the bed and like runs away. Like he feels shame to see it. And it's not like trained behavior. It's completely innate that he doesn't want to see us like that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this guy's fucking disgusting. I cannot,
and then
cannot watch his pasty ass bounce around anymore.
And as soon as it's over, runs back in. Like, all right, I'm glad you guys are done having your little fucking fun time. But now I'm back. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, that's actually really sweet.
What's the most disgusting food you've ever eaten? Do you remember eating something and it was the grossest thing you've ever had?
I guess I've definitely eaten a lot of like gas station tuna sandwiches. Like I remember
Was it gross in a way that you liked it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
It's hard to... That was definitely like in Iceland, getting like a chicken salad sandwich out of a gas station. That was fucking nasty, but delicious.
Yeah, I'm talking about fuel. I feel like I've seen you try something and then spit it out. Like it was so bad you couldn't have it.
Oh, it was uni. Like there's a specific kind of sushi called uni.
Oh, yeah. It's like, tastes like, I think it looks like a tongue or something.
Yeah, it's like this weird orange. It looks like fucking diarrhea, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be a delicacy. And people like, it's like so, it's like people's favorite food. It's like so like decadent. It's supposed to be really good. And Jill took me to sushi one time and she was like, oh, we have to get this. Like, I think you're going to love it. And I like took a bite and I was like, genuinely, I thought it tasted like poop. Jill was like, what's going on? Like, I think it tastes like poop. I was sick till my, it ruined my night. It was so foul.
I think all food is interesting and should be appreciated. People are starving. So yeah. I don't like talking about food in a negative light. Nice.
I was baited into that question. Fuck you. Fuck you, man.
No, I remember once trying oysters, and indeed I didn't like it. I thought it tasted exactly the way it smelled, which was like a slimy sea booger. I did not want to swallow it. Mm-hmm. Mushrooms I strongly dislike. When everyone's like, but you got to try this mushroom, it's really good. It doesn't taste like a mushroom.
You still don't like mushrooms?
Still don't like mushrooms. Can't get over it.
Love mushrooms. I love them.
All right, maybe the last question. Pick your celebrity partner in The Amazing Race. So you get to choose any celeb to be your partner on a race around the world. Who would it be? And don't say Tiffany Amber Thiessen, because that's mine.
When this question started, I thought it was like pick your celebrity partner, like your celebrity crush. And I was really ready to say Margot Robbie, and I think I'm just going to stick with it.
So and Robbie, and it's not in an amazing race.
I just think she would be good at it. I feel like she has the temperament and the attitude that it takes.
Yeah. Yeah, because I want to, like, I'm leaning towards taking, like, an athletic person, like, ooh, it's me and LeBron, but then, like, he's going to be disappointed in me. Like, I don't want LeBron to be like, come on, man, you got to, like, run faster. And I'm like, I'm trying, LeBron, but I think I'm out of shape or some shit. And then he's, like, sad at me, and I don't want to do that to LeBron.
Right. He would be hard on you, because he's trying to get the best out of you,
too. So, like, he's
come on, he's like, inspiring. Yeah, you're being a little bitch boy. Yeah. Like, what if that nickname stuck? Like, he talked to Ben.
No way. There's no way he would know that nickname for me. What about
The Amazing Race isn't like, it's not like a foot race.
Sometimes it is.
It's like traveling. You're like moving through cities and stuff.
Yeah, you're traveling, but then like sometimes it's like you're in a city and you have to like get to somewhere without a taxi or something like that. So you're sort of jogging / sprinting to a flag or a location or a landmark. Maybe a basketball player that I don't like, so that when they yell at me, it's like, dude, like, I'm not even a fan of yours, straight up. So, like, don't talk to me like that, Kawhi, or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, look at me, dude. Like, so we can't have this kind of relationship.
You're thinking about this question all wrong, because you're like, who would I want to lose The Amazing Race with? That's, you have no fucking ambition to do well.
No, yeah.
You're just like, I know you're going to suck at The Amazing Race.
I think I'll be bad, and Kawhi will sort of roll his eyes at me.
Because I get car sick, Kawhi. That's why.
I really do. And like, I'm sorry I can't run right away. But like, you're also kind of
fucked
up.
Can we have
a
goddamn leisurely breakfast? Can we get a leisurely breakfast, Kawhi?
You're so competitive, and you're so obsessed with winning. Like now, sorry, I shouldn't say it, but now I know why Pat Beverly doesn't like you. He really doesn't like you. You read the fucking trades. I'm sorry. All right. That's it. That's it. That's our time. We tried to answer as many questions as possible. There's still more. We've been trying to answer them also rapid fire style on our Patreon. So if you want to see a video episode of us trying to answer as many of these questions as possible, or perhaps a Jake and Amir watch episode, that URL for all that stuff is patreon.com/JA.
Yeah.
So thanks to anybody that was on the Patreon watching there as well. And thanks to all you guys for asking these questions. And if you got your own questions or theme songs, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening one was that Bugatti parody. Remember that one?
By Tony Party.
That's right. And this
hard name to forget.
And this closing theme song is by Tanny Thompson. It took her years to submit it because her friend Sam was supposed to sing on it, but she never had time. Anyway, shout out to my friend Sam, who's a day one listener. Nice. Thank you for years of great listening. Thank you, Tani. Tanny, T-A-N-I, Tanny, Tani?
T-A-N-I, Tani.
Tani. Thank you, Tani.
Tani.
Thank you, Tony. Oh, a Tony party and a Tanny party. Now that's a party I can get into. I mean, I want a like three-way kiss.
You actually can't get into any parties. You can't get into parties. You rub people the wrong way.
Right.
People don't like to be around you.
This is how the episode started, and now this is how it ends. Yeah. And it's sort of going to leave a sour taste in my mouth going forward is all. And that's not all right. Trill. Right.
Let's just end it. You get the turdy this episode. I think that much is obvious.
Oh.
So thank you everyone for thanks everyone for listening. And we'll be back next Monday.
And all right, the live show. Episode. Two more days to watch that at jakeandamir.com before it's gone forever. So snag it before it leaves. And thanks to everybody that was there for that. All right, we'll be back next week. Bye everybody.
Hey, baby, if I were you, the show. Baby, if I were you, the show.
I like Amir. Ta-da, Monday, now we're here. Unsolicited advices, where's my pen? Bitch, I'm writing into these two dudes from YouTube. They really can be quite rude while they help me with my problems, small and large. It's no issue, like texts to my exes when I want a second chance. Like proving my dad's exit living room without no pants. Like call me loser, chiller, printer, crantus. Make fun of me on this podcast with help from shorts and middle ditch. Riley, Jeff, and Marty, bitch. These two quite Jews and looking for two. Free emails and tell me just yo, you, do you. Flexing on Tinder as hard as I can. Rejected by girls, match after match. Tell Jake that I'm sorry though. He has a chipmunk co-host. This woodland creature and the pinch they run a podcast empire, yo.
was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, go ahead. Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.